Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Joblogs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Hi, I'm Joy Marie.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Joblogs.
Welcome, guys. We are doing another week of candid career conversations.
Yes, it is a glorious Monday, and we are ready to
beautiful,
slay the week.
Sun is shining, maybe.
Yes. Don't forget, you can always connect with us at joblogs.com for resources, articles, more amazing career content. And also, if you guys are interested in contributing, you know, tired of hearing our voices, want to kind of have a part of the conversation, hit us up at joblogs.com/contribute. Apply to be a writer.
Yes, we have some awesome stuff on the website, so make sure you check it out.
And coming up on today's episode, so, you know, we all have great ideas, and sometimes it's hard to go from the ideas in your mind, creative brainstorming, to actual execution and bringing mm-hmm. those ideas to life, right?
Yes.
So today's episode is all about proven strategies for managing your time efficiently so that you can accomplish all of those great things.
Yes, your most valuable resource.
Yes, absolutely. But first, we always like to start these episodes with a clock in where we mm-hmm. just check in with each other, see how we're doing personally and professionally.
Yes.
Courtney, what's going on?
Well, speaking of wasting time, I had jury duty.
Really?
Recently, yes.
So. Seriously, I loved my jury duty experience.
I mean, I didn't know how to take it.
Okay.
Because I just, it's the government. Once that happens, you never know.
True.
So I got all these. I fielded my network for, like, suggestions. And we're like, girl, just, you know, get snacks, jacket. Books.
I saw your jury have a duty free day. Starter pack.
You yes, had, like, snack. I was loaded down. I was ready.
Okay.
Do you know I show up and I am picked at 11 a.m.?
Like, when did you
I wasn't
show up?
Even there. I got there at like 9:30.
And they picked you for a case?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, I was lucky though. It was a short trial.
Okay.
So I didn't have one of those like 2 week situations.
Okay.
But you're right, it is fascinating.
And the I guess, judicial system, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking, firsthand. Like, sitting in this courtroom, like, so that y'all go to work here every day.
Yes.
You are in the suit. It is so, like, you know, conservative mm-hmm. and very, like, very law and order.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what would my life be like if I was, like, a lawyer?
Yeah. No, that's
my
real.
My whole life would be different.
You know what was insane to me when I had my case was just, like, how much the destiny of people is just in the hands of this random mm-hmm. collective, this jury.
Yeah.
It was fascinating.
It was.
Because we found our person guilty.
Oh, mine was like a lawsuit.
Mm.
And apparently lawsuits are just not in fashion anymore because my whole jury
lawsuits?
Was like, why does she need this money? Who is going to pay this money?
That's amazing.
So that was a lot of, it was more fun than I thought it would be.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
What about you?
So my finances are in shambles
oh,
right
no.
now. It's like
do
keeping me up
a prayer
at night.
Circle.
Yes, yes. Okay. Saints, please hold me up. But no, not really. So I've just been paying more attention to just financial literacy and education. Mm-hmm. Shout outs to my girl Tanya from myfabfinance.com. I participated in her Banish the Balance Challenge, which mm-hmm. was 3,000 of us that like made a goal around how we wanted to reduce our debt. And we just supported each other through like a Facebook community. And every week she had challenges and prompts mm-hmm. and things like that to get us to focus on different areas. For me, my areas that I'm really starting to think about are my credit card utilization, mm-hmm. getting that down. I'm also saving for an apartment in New York City.
Bless your soul.
So, you know, I need, like, my firstborn child
yes.
and all of that.
Yes.
And then also just, like, I always have trips and vacations I can't say no to. So I feel like I kind of overcommit in that area. So, yeah, I mean, you know, focusing on savings. Getting
yeah.
there, but I feel like the debt kind of counteracts the savings, which
yeah.
is frustrating.
I'm so obsessive with money. Like
I know you're
I monitor
really good.
Every freaking cent. If I've loaned you money, you have a tab in my Excel sheet. Like, that's, I know, amazing, everything.
I know you. I remember years ago you were always good with mint and budgeting.
Yeah,
I will admit I can sort of draft a loose budget, but I don't really follow one. And I don't feel the need to.
Every week I'm like, okay, so where did this go? Yeah. And then it allows me to like hedge my bets. Because I'm like, yeah, okay, so my debt's here, so I can do this trip on this credit card.
Yeah. Oh.
So it's like, it's a whole thing.
Okay, girl. Well, then I need some lessons.
Hands
from
on
you.
Your money.
I think
that's the first step, though. It's just like making the effort to pay attention to it. Because if you don't pay attention, then girl, you'll look up.
No, you're right. You're right. The first, a couple weeks ago or months ago, I first put everything into mint. And saw my net worth, and that was sort of the first step. So we don't have to go into it.
Yes.
But yeah. That's what we're working on.
Oh, see, that's the major adulting.
Yep.
Okay, so starting out this time management situation with some rants, raves, and reviews. Mm-hmm. It's part of the show where we kind of spotlight things that are positively or negatively impacting our professional lives.
Correct.
So are you ranting or raving?
I'm raving. I've been raving lately.
Really?
Right? Y'all got to give me my props because I started this thing ranting every single week. But no, I'm raving.
Cool.
And I'm raving about, you know, starting where you are, using what you have to optimize your calendar.
Hmm.
So you might use Outlook. You might use your Google Calendar, whatever it is. I'm shouting out the calendar. And I thought about this because I saw this article on Kiko Lani, and we'll link to it in the episode notes, 19 productivity and time management apps for 2016. And they mentioned things like Basecamp, which is all about project collaboration, Dropbox, which is file sharing, many of you are familiar, and Toggle, with a L, no E at the end, for time tracking.
Okay.
But then they also listed your calendar, which I thought was really interesting. And I thought about some strategies just for more effective use of the calendar, which I've been using lately. So one category is an Outlook for work. I can sort of categorize different labels of my calendar and color code them. So I know when it's a really important event versus maybe something personal versus like a meeting. So I use that frequently. Also just syncing to your mobile device, which again, these sound kind of obvious, but.
Well, you know, someone started at my job and they ordered a planner and I almost fell out in the floor. Like,
you're
I
right,
cannot
I
keep my life
that.
Together with no book
and paper and a planner.
Buzzies.
But listen, whatever works for you.
True.
I guess color-coded Post-its in the planner. I don't even know how that works. That's so funny. I forgot about planners altogether. And then reminders, I guess, because this list is all about digital calendars. So you can have like reminders or alerts to kind of buzz you so that you remember what's coming up. And then I recently discovered this, and it gave me my whole life. And it's follow-up flags. Have you used those before?
Oh, I live off the follow-up flags.
Really?
Yeah.
I never used them until a couple weeks ago. So you can write an email and then indicate, at least in Outlook, a follow-up flag of when the task or email should be followed up by. And you can do it both for yourself as a reminder or for the recipient.
Oh, you can do it for the recipient?
Yeah, you could do it for the recipient. True. So you can say, like, if you're saying, you know, get me this answer by next Wednesday at 5 p.m., you can put that in there as a follow-up flag and it'll remind them.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was dope. What about you? What are you doing this week?
I'm ranting. This is a public service. So I was going to say it's not beneficial to anyone but myself. But actually, I feel like everyone needs to know this. And this is like directly from our group chat.
Okay.
Don't ever. In your life.
Okay.
Send me.
Okay.
A meeting request.
All right.
For 2 hours.
Oh.
Don't do it. Don't you
that
do
is
it.
Rude.
Don't you do it.
That is rude and inconsiderate.
Like, not, you need to talk to me first. Like, wait, we need to come to an understanding. But don't just, like, have me look at my calendar and, like, see that my afternoon is for
request.
You.
Now, to clarify, you're not talking about in general. You mean, like, at work, right?
At work.
Like, a work meeting. We're not talking about a brainstorm.
At work. Because when I see that, we all know that, like, a productive meeting, I feel like there are studies that, like, really is, like, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Hour might
or
even
less,
be too long. But, like, it's an hour. A meeting is supposed to accomplish something.
Exactly.
So if you send me a two-hour meeting request, I feel like there was a meeting that should have happened.
Before this two-hour meeting?
Before this.
Touche.
Like, what's my percentage? Like, have a time stamp of, like, when I need to come in this meeting.
Right. I will show like up at 1:30, not at 1 o'clock for this two-hour meeting.
Right.
If you only need me for a little bit.
Right.
That's rude.
I just don't. I feel like we all have to be like respectful of each other's time. So like just really think about when you're, and when you're adding, just like every department. Boom. Everybody's coming.
Everyone's on the
Everyone's
meeting.
Coming.
It's
Everyone's
2 hours
coming.
Long. We don't
like,
have an agenda.
Just really think about like, does everyone need to be here? Like, what are we trying to accomplish? Have an agenda. Like,
we'll get into it.
Oh, yes. So that's what I'm saying. Shouts out to the senior person who was like, after our polite finger up, I have a call.
I need to wrap this right, up. I love that.
Yes. In rant.
So, Courtney.
Yes, Joy.
What does time management mean to you? Like, when you hear time management, what comes to mind?
I feel like I'm in a pageant. Time management means to me, I think it's making the most of the time that you have. Like, being efficient, productive, getting as much done as you can with a set amount of time.
Okay, cool. I love that you defined it that way, because I think a lot of times when we talk about time management, by definition, it's really the process of organizing and planning how to divide your time against specific tasks and activities. Mm-hmm. But I think effective time management is really about, like you said, productivity, working smarter, not harder, and getting more done. And I think ultimately, like, the reason we're even spending time on this is because time, like, effective time management leads to greater productivity, less stress, and ultimately you get more done. You get more opportunities flowing your way. So on that note, what do you struggle with the most when it comes to managing your time?
Well, I would say the two things that I annoy myself with myself is, one, it's like I still will wait until like it has
Girl,
to be done.
Yes, same.
So I will allow it, like, for the week, I'll say, okay, this is what I need to get done. And I will still, like, even if I have the extra time to do it, I'm like, oh, girl, well, I have two more days.
Yes.
So I'm going to go over here and do
same.
This.
Same. It's terrible. I'm so, the same way. Procrastination.
Yes.
And also, I'd say, like, for me, distractions, too, with social media and our devices and everything. I just cannot focus.
Oh, my God. I will be on social media actively saying, I don't want to be on here.
Yes.
My eyes hurt. Like,
you'll
I'm
be
scrolling.
On there.
Why am I on here?
Because it's better
than the
alternative.
Why am I watching these snaps?
Focusing.
I don't care.
Yeah. Procrastination, distractions. And then I think also one other area I've recognized in myself is also just trying to be too much of a perfectionist.
Okay.
So spending an inordinate amount of time on a task versus just moving on and like setting clear parameters around how long I'm going to take at every stage of the process.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we all struggle with different things, but I was doing a little bit of research on a couple of areas we can start to think about as we work to better manage our time and just be more productive overall. So when we think about time management, I'd say it starts with like goal setting, right?
Yes.
It's like, what are you even trying to achieve?
Yes. And you know, goal setting is super important because you really have to know yourself, and you also have to really be truthful to yourself. Because I am famous for setting all these goals. It's like, girl, when do you have time to do this?
I'm going to make $1 million this year.
So like, you really have to know like, okay, really, how long does it take me to write a page worth of stuff?
Yeah.
How long does it? So yeah.
That's real. And for that, I really loved the quiz you set in our group chat. Do you remember the name of that?
Oh yeah, we should do
Yeah, we'll link to it. We'll have to look up the name of it. But it was around how you manage expectations for yourself and for others. Which was really fascinating to me, the for yourself piece. And my results, I basically came out as a rebel in both criterias, which means like I resent other people imposing expectations on me, and I also don't like to impose expectations on myself.
It doesn't have a name. I know it was developed by Gretchen Rubin.
Okay.
And it talks about the expectation types. Maybe that's the name.
Expectation types.
Yeah, so everyone is either an upholder, questioner, rebel, or an obliger. You can take this test that we'll link to in the show notes. And it basically says like how it helps you form like habits by understanding like how do you respond to expectations. So I know I was a questioner. So I feel like I have to ask questions until I understand like why this is the right thing. And once I get that, then I can proceed with whatever the task
is. Yeah. And I was definitely a rebel. So it's really interesting that you brought that up. It's one, knowing yourself before you even set the goals, right?
Right.
So understanding how you go about that. Then another piece of it, too, is setting a timeline. So don't make your goals so large and abstract that you know, they're just kind of these far out things you're working towards. Like, put some timing against each goal and break it out into tactics as well. What are, you know, what's the overarching goal and what are the strategies or tactics below that that you're going to use to actually achieve it? A lot of us are familiar with like SMART goals, right?
Yeah.
Making them measurable, attainable, and putting some time on them.
Yeah, and making it small, easy steps. Sometimes the big goal doesn't need to be the goal. Like, it's breaking it up into small steps.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can accomplish each one. And next thing you know, boom.
For sure, for sure.
Take things done.
And also, like, to your point, your rant earlier, align with partners or anyone you need input from ahead of time, right?
There
you go. So if you know you need to do some digging with your boss or whatever first before you can set a goal, or you need a weigh-in from other people, or just some information that you're missing to even develop the goal and brainstorm in the first place, have those meetings. Pre-align ahead of time so that you know what you're working towards and against.
Right.
So we talked about goal setting. I'd say the second area that came up in my research is prioritization, which is what a lot of us struggle with, right? So it's, how do you rank these tasks you've now identified that you need to complete to achieve the goals? And how do you figure out, what do I tackle first? What can I do later down the line? And additionally, like, what's even necessary to do towards this goal versus what can I completely eliminate from this process?
Yeah, I know for me, I usually, when I start the day, I try and knock out all the stuff like I know I can get through. So my tools for prioritizing are either is it really quick for me to do, so then I'll get it out the way, or if it's like, is this something I'm dreading doing, then let me do it now because I know I'm putting it off.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people use that second approach too, is like, tackle the big thing that you don't want to do first.
Yeah.
I don't know if that works for me.
Well, my reasoning is like, after I do that and I'm over it, at least I have all these other things.
The whole
that I'm
day.
Like, you know, it's like, oh, these are these little things. I'm like, oh, I can do these.
Yeah.
I'm like over it in my attitude.
Yeah, true. So, yeah. I feel you. You can definitely leverage a project management tool to chart out and assign tasks to and break things up. And again, going back to like, what information did you need, or are there any gaps in your current understanding that's preventing you from moving forward, either prioritizing or even figuring out what those tasks are?
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we got goal setting, we got prioritization. Now this third piece, which I think is like the biggest, is self-motivation.
Lord.
So how do you even get in the game, get in the zone to get this work done? Because I feel like that's kind of the biggest barrier for many of us, right? It's like, we have these ideas, we have these goals, we know what we're trying to achieve, but it's actually picking up pen to paper or sitting
down
and getting it
done. What's really helped me recently with procrastination is understanding why I'm procrastinating. And then I can, it just, then it's easier to overcome it if I know why.
Why do you procrastinate most of the time?
I mean, it's like, it's purely like case by case basis.
Okay.
So for example, let's say if I'm not writing something that I have to write, why am I procrastinating? Maybe it's because I don't need to, I'm not at the writing stage yet. Maybe I need to make an outline and do research and then I'll be able to write it. So then it's like, oh, you're building this up in your head. Like, oh, you don't know what to write about, but girl, you haven't done the work so that you can do that thing.
That's really interesting. Cause in my case, I feel like, I tend to procrastinate because I like the adrenaline rush.
Oh, girl, the rebel.
Yes, the rebel. It's the adrenaline rush, but it's also the rebellious part of me, going back to that assessment, that is like, how long can I possibly wait to start this and get it done and like still do a really kick a job? Okay, we're clean. We're clean over here. But yeah, I think it's just kind of that rush, which is terrible. And I was I was looking at something called the Procrastination Matrix by Tim Urban, and you guys will link to it so you can look it up. But it's a quadrant that the labels are basically important, not important, and urgent, not urgent. Mm-hmm. And depending on where you fall, you tend to have a lot of, so for myself, procrastinating, I tend to have a lot of important things that are urgent, which just puts you in a state of panic and frenzy and just, you know, it's stress inducing, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And chances are half the time the work that you're producing isn't as great as it would have been if you gave it more thoughtfulness. So I think in terms of self-motivation, procrastination is a huge area to try to stay away from.
And you know what's another thing? It's amazing when you figure this out, and I'm still working on it, but you don't have to feel like doing something to do it.
That's true.
Like, even, like, if we're being all the way real, last night preparing for this episode, it was like, it was late, I had a couple glasses of wine, and I was like, oh, it'll be really nice, I kind of just want to sit here, ooh, I could probably wait till morning,
right
before.
Which I did.
Right. But then I was just like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like actively not wanting to do it while I'm doing it.
And that's the discipline. I feel like discipline is doing the things you want to do and the things you don't want to do.
Yeah. I'm not an expert at it by any means, but I did it yesterday. Yeah. So
girl, kudos to you. Thanks for showing up. So some other stuff to just continue to be motivated and make sure you're achieving your goals. Delegate responsibility. Like, don't try to take it on all by yourself. A lot of the stress that we induce on ourselves is because we don't ask for help when we need it. And so I've been, you know, I have someone working for me, which helps at work. But even my peers or my boss, I've been trying to practice more of just reaching out, tapping them, allowing them to do the portions of the work that make sense for them to do so that I'm not as stressed on my own.
That's real.
And then also celebrate the little wins. I feel like one way you can keep motivating yourself is to just, you don't have to tackle the large project to be successful. It's those little milestones along the way, right?
Yeah.
So if you're trying to write an essay, celebrate getting a couple paragraphs done or having done the research with a journalist or whoever you needed to speak with. Like, celebrate different stages along the win to kind of keep you going. And then lastly, automate where possible. So whether that's creating templates in Excel and Word or even in email versions that you can kind of copy and paste and work off of or whatever automation means for the type of work you're doing, see where you can save time by creating templates that can be reused over and over again.
Nice.
So lastly, we've talked now about goal setting, prioritization, self-motivation. Lastly, eliminating those distractions. So what are the things that are taking you away from making progress? And I think for many of us, it might be social media. You know, mine is Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
I will fall down a deep rabbit hole for a long time. But I would recommend, one, auditing how you spend your time. So tools like Rescue Time, which is a browser tool that'll kind of assess and monitor where you're spending time, whether it's Facebook or in Word, getting
will
your work
it, like,
done.
Will it, like, kick me out if I...
There are,
over.
So I don't know if, I know there's like a free version, a light version of Rescue Time, which is what I'm referring to. And then if you pay more, I think it might have that functionality,
which
but there are definitely tools like that.
I know there's someone listening like, then why didn't you just But I need help.
You literally need someone to be like, Facebook
we're
is
done.
Shut down.
We're done.
Until you mark that you have completed this project.
Right.
I hear you. Listen, we all got to do what
well, you
we
know what?
Do.
Sometimes I will just, like, in Google Docs, like, work off, like, cut the Wi-Fi off of my laptop. Sometimes you just got to do it.
Yeah, that's real.
And now it's time for Ask Job Logs. This is where we bring you into the conversation.
Yes.
We're going to answer a few questions you have about life and career. If you have a question, submit yours online at joblogs.com/askjoblogs.
Yep.
Okay, so our first question from Anonymous. Hello, ladies. I love the show. I'm a Black woman and have crippling social anxiety. I work in design. I moved to Miami last year, and I have a hard time managing employment because of it. I've realized how bad my problem is, and I've decided to move back home and be closer to my support system. It's a college and political town and fairly small. The opportunities in my field are mostly marketing, and I am in graphic design. I'm not looking for work, but it's difficult to get an interview as my resume is fragmented, and I really suck at interviewing. I either become mute or babble incessantly. In addition, I don't know how to broach the subject of my anxiety in interviews. I know that I am covered by the Disability Act, but as a Black woman, I already am a double minority in my field, graphic design. I don't want to take on the extra burden of being called disabled in an already saturated hiring market. Mm. Any suggestions?
Wow. That is a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot, actually. So we called up a friend of the show, Krista Richardson, who's a human resources professional at an international media company, because we wanted to, you know, do our research and make sure we were providing you with the best response. And neither Courtney and I have experience in this area. So what she came back and said is that, you know, this is definitely a controversial topic, especially within the last couple of years with issues of mental health and disorders relating to that. And a lot of employers are still trying to figure out how to address many of these concerns. But it's not as obvious as maybe like a physical disability, right? So a lot of times people may not treat it the same way, may not provide or accommodate you in the same way. She definitely highly recommends seeking the advice of a medical professional.
Yeah, plus one.
Yeah, there are a lot of care institutions already in place that can recommend ways to address the issues. They might recommend exercise, acupuncture, or put you on a more holistic treatment plan that you could follow. And then also continue, as you've done, to do research on the American Disability Act. One thing she did know and point out, though, is that a lot of the responsibility, unfortunately, will lie on you, on the individual, to ask for what you need. Mm. So, you know, for example, if you're more comfortable doing a phone or video interview and not as comfortable coming in person, and, you know, being in the comfort of your home makes you more comfortable, then say that to employers directly. Ask for that. But if you don't ask, a lot of times people won't sort of proactively try to accommodate your needs. So that's definitely an important part.
Yeah, because when she read it, I don't know the standard for handling, but I would be hesitant to say like, oh, I have anxiety, like before I have an interview.
Absolutely.
So I like saying, like, instead of saying I have anxiety, how can you cater to me? Saying like suggesting things that fit
exactly
the interview better.
Exactly. Yeah. Because then what you're not asking for is for people to tiptoe around your disability. Even though employers should be accommodating.
They should.
But, you know, you're not asking for that. You're saying, listen, I know I'm on a treatment plan. I know how to cope and work through this. These are the things that I'm going to need from you as an employer. Mm-hmm. These are the things I'm also going to bring to accommodate my disability. What can we do to make this work together?
Yeah.
And then also another thing that she recommends in general for all candidates going for new jobs is to continue to practice.
Mm.
Practice gives you a level of comfort, you know, doing mock interviews over and over again, recording yourself on your phone, working with friends, mentors, family to just keep spitting out those interviews and those responses will help to increase your confidence to a degree. And then lastly, since you are in more of a design field, work on a solid portfolio online so that, you know, you're really leading with the work maybe versus your presence at an interview. And if you're finding that it's still challenging to find opportunities, try to maybe go for some non-traditional opportunities, virtual design work. You aren't limited to your area with design, right?
Yeah.
You can work with clients that are in other states or even across the world virtually. Take on contract projects, take on freelance projects. Ask for referrals for people you have worked with. Mm. Ask them to refer you to other clients, other potential people that you could partner with. And then also maybe just like seek community. I don't know if there are other people, whether it's in an online group or listserv or in your area that are dealing with what you're dealing with and navigating the space. But it could be good to just kind of connect with other people going through this and exchange ideas.
Love it.
So we have another question. And this one is a short one. It says, what questions do you recommend asking the interviewer when they say, do you have any questions?
Funny you should ask.
We have an ebook for you that addresses just that. And it can be found at jobbugs.com/ebook. It's 43 questions that'll transform your job interviews from drab to fab. So we have a couple sample ones, like how is success and performance measured? Who are the key partners and players that I'd be interacting with in this role? What are characteristics of people who are successful here? All sorts of questions.
Oh, they eat that one up.
They love it.
Yeah. What are the characteristics of someone successful?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They love it.
I know. That is such a good question.
Wow.
So all that and more. Check it out. Hope that helped.
hold up. Let's take a second, Joy, because I feel like we need to spread a good word. And okay. I know you are a queen of agendas.
Yes.
So give us some like down and dirty tips for how do you get more out of these meetings, these conference calls.
Meetings.
And these other blocks on my schedule.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yes, exactly. So if you're going to send somebody a meeting invite for a meeting, there are a couple of rules you definitely want to follow. We've already talked about the first, which is pre-alignment. Mm-hmm. So what conversations could you have had ahead of time to get the answers you needed to get to not waste people's time?
Yes.
Two is always have an objective for your meeting or mm-hmm. a desired outcome and make it known. What are we meeting for? Mm-hmm. Why are we talking right now? What are you hoping to achieve?
Right. If it's not achieving anything, it doesn't need to be a meeting.
Exactly. And then three, my favorite, set an agenda, send out an agenda yes. in advance so everybody knows what we're covering. And also everyone knows what we're not covering. So when you start to, you know, Tyler over there wants to start talking about so-and-so and go down a tangent, you can politely bring it back to the agenda and say, well, today we're looking to achieve XYZ. And so let's stick to this, but we'll mm-hmm. note that down for next time's meeting. And then another thing people don't often think about is the attendees. Like, who is necessary for this dialogue now that you know what you're talking about and hoping yes. to achieve and what's on the agenda? If, you know, so-and-so from IT or whatever is just on there just because you want to see their name on the
right.
invite, that's not a good enough reason.
IT guy in the meeting about food services.
Yes,
think
why?
About these things.
Why? Yes. So ask yourself, is everyone on here? Do they need to be on here? Mm-hmm. And also, what decision or what input are you looking for from
yes.
them, right? Are they a decision maker? Do they need this information for reference for their role?
Right. I live for my supervisor because she's famous for, like, I will just go to the, like, all of us don't need to be there.
Oh,
like,
nice.
One of us will
I
go
love
to this
that.
Meeting.
Yeah.
Love it.
Listen. And then timing, which you talked about a little bit earlier, is like, mm-hmm. Cut it short.
Yeah.
Half the time you think you need for this meeting, because I bet with that time constraint, you will be much more
yeah.
effective in your delivery.
True.
And then a couple other things you can always do is just make sure there's clarity around the next step. So if there's any follow-up from the meeting, make sure everybody knows what they're doing. And also just maybe send a follow-up note, too, to recap what you guys discussed, what the objective is, and what the next steps are. So good luck. Cheers to better meetings in 2016.
Yes, job logs. Making America great again, one meeting at a time. All right, ladies and gents, it's that special time again, Hired and Fired.
Yes.
This is when we put the spotlight on folks in pop culture and media who are just doing things that we love and we want to support and we
yes.
bring them on the team.
Shouts
or just
to y'all.
Failing at life.
Goodbye.
On a lot of levels. So you can see the whole roster at joblogs.com/payroll. And Joy is in the hiring chair.
I am. I'm hiring. I'm
Yay.
Hiring this week. So, first of all, shouts to all of the beautiful, beautiful specimen of athletes.
I love the
performing
Olympics.
In the Olympic.
I love
or
the Olympics.
Is it even performing? What's the word? I don't even know. But you creatures are just wonderful to look at and so inspiring.
I am never more patriotic. I'm never
than the
patriotic.
Olympic. You're never patriotic.
Like, I am just like screaming.
Yes.
I'm getting my life when we come out in the opening ceremony.
It's beautiful.
Oh my God.
I love it. I love it. And they just wrapped, but I'm hiring Simone Biles, who is an American artistic gymnast, if you're not familiar.
Can we talk about this freak of nature?
The reigning world champion, 2016 Olympic individual all-around champion, and she is 19 years old.
She's like an airbender or something. Like,
yes.
she defies gravity. I can't.
Yes, and so many people are already regarding her as the greatest gymnast of all time.
For sure.
Which is such a huge, huge accolade. But talk about time management, like the discipline, training, and dedication it takes to whip your body into shape to compete in the Olympics is so astounding and just inspirational and admirable. But I want to talk about Simone, and I'm hiring her because she, you know, she worked along with the other gymnasts on the U.S. team, coached by Marta Kuroi, who said that just 5 years ago, she couldn't tell that Simone was going to be as great as she is now. Mm. And she underwent a huge transformation since 2011. So back then, she wasn't considered a great American prospect. She actually finished 14th of 24 in the junior division at the 2011 U.S. Junior Championships. And her coach would say, you know, her bounciness was out of control. I didn't know if we'd be able to focus her to make her very disciplined. Mm. And so that's incredible because basically her coach sat her down, asked her if she really wanted to do this. Simone was like, we're doing this. I really want to do this. And passed up on attending public school to train pretty much full time.
Can we talk about, like, how are you this young? Like, all of them. And that young. Simone, like, yes. All these Olympians are crazy young.
Committed.
And just like, I'm going to devote my life to this.
Yes. It's incredible. And to me, it's so encouraging because you can be in a... It basically, to me, is a testament about how you can change your circumstances and put together, when we talk about time management, put together an action plan with some time and rigor around it to get from where you are to where you want to be. And it's fascinating with Simone because within a year of making that decision, she already started to show tremendous progress and now, obviously, just like reigning world champion. So a lot to learn from that, a lot to be inspired by. And, you know, not only did she just win the all-around gold, but she dominated. Like, the margin of her victory was unprecedented, 2.1 points, which is bigger than the margin of victory from 1980 to 2012 combined for that. So incredible, inspiring.
And it's so crazy to watch the Olympics now because I remember, like, watching the Olympics in the 90s. Back when they were in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And these girls are like, they didn't do this in the 90s. Like, they are just like, Simone, like, hits that mat after flipping 85 times.
Yes.
There's no stumble.
No stumble.
There's no step back.
No.
There's no
balance. Not at all.
I can't.
None of it. Girl, so you are hired. Join the winning team. So proud of you, girl.
Yay, Simone. This is fun.
It was.
And timely.
Always.
See what I did there?
Thank you all so much for listening, tuning in.
And if you love the show, if you're getting what you need from it, leave us a rating on iTunes. It really, you know, we love our stars and it helps people, find out about the show.
We do. If you're thinking about like one or two stars, though, you can just
keep it.
But as always, you can follow us around the web at JobBlogs. Visit JobBlogs.com for amazing resources. All of the episode links and resources mentioned on today's episode, as well as articles and resources to help you on your professional journey.
Yes, I'm at Cleave Out Loud most places.
And I'm Hey Miss Parker. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.